with my co-host, Kristen, and you're listening to the Empower Caregiver Show. We're here with Kirsten and Debbie from Gilda's Club, Madison.
So, Debbie, we haven't really gotten a chance to hear much about the actual job you have. You're a patient advocacy specialist, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you actually help caregivers as well?
I do.
Okay. And so can you talk a little bit about what your role is and then any advice you would give caregivers specifically about how to navigate all the info, right? We're in the info, well, we're post information age, and it's great to have all these resources and have all this, you know, new data and new information, but also it can get super overwhelming.
Absolutely. So yes, I do work with many caregivers, and what I always like to encourage folks to do is think of yourself in your new role as a caregiver as you're going on a trip, right? So where's your North Star? Let's sketch out a map, and equally important, let's figure out who your team is. So you've got the patient's medical team, and they are certainly throwing out a lot of very complicated information. You're trying to wade through that. And as a caregiver, you're also dealing with the emotional toll of trying to process this. And this can all change on a dime. You know, some cancer trajectories are years, and some are days, and sometimes there are pivots that happen very quickly, and it's a lot. So I always encourage folks to have some people on your team that you can process all of this with, and also don't be afraid to ask for help. Help is out there. Ask for help, even if it's help identifying where to go to get help.
Right.
And the other thing is, don't be afraid to delegate. As you are forming your team, recognize the skill sets of your team member and ask for help. You don't have to do it all yourself, because chances are you're going to be doing this for the long haul, if that's a short time or a long time, and you have to have enough self-care and wherewithal to get through all of that.
Sure. Good point. I think we kind of also just went into the next question that Liza was going to ask you. So I'm just going to jump into, what do you think is the most important thing for a caregiver who's caring for a person with cancer to know? So as Liza was explaining in the last segment, we both know a lot about autism, and my daughter has epilepsy, so I know about that. But I don't know specifically what's important for us to understand about cancer, especially since it has so many different trajectories.
Sure. And that is probably my biggest takeaway as being a personal caregiver, is just it really blows your hair back about how things can change. You know, you think you've got everything kind of situated, and then there's a pivot and it looks much different. So you have to figure that out. And it's also very important to keep at the forefront as a cancer caregiver what the patient's goals and wishes are, and realize that those will change, they will evolve, and what you thought was the plan this week might not be the plan next week, and that's okay. So you want to help the patient and yourself as caregiver kind of ride those waves.
So Debbie, I guess because I'm sort of foreign to this, can you be a little more specific about what causes those pivots or how?
Oh, definitely. Okay. So let's say a cancer patient is given a diagnosis, and they're given a prognosis, and they're given a few options for a treatment plan, and the patient weighs the pluses and minuses of those and opts for treatment plan A, let's say.
Okay.
And things can go along quite nicely for a while, but then there might come a point where that treatment plan no longer makes sense. So the patient might say, I don't want to do that anymore. The risks and the ardor of it don't meet the benefits.
Gotcha.
It doesn't make sense anymore. I want to change this. So, okay. You might go back to the drawing board and say, well, what are the other options?
Okay.
A patient might say, you know, I want to focus not so much on treating this, but on remaining comfortable. I realize for whatever reasons, based on what my care team is, my medical care team is telling me, that this might not be curable. So I don't want to put all of my energy into an aggressive treatment plan. I want to focus on comfort and quality of life. That's a definite pivot. And yeah. Sometimes caregivers struggle with that. They're like, oh, you know, you've got to keep pushing. You've got to keep doing all of these things. And it's really up to the patient. And as caregivers, we need to honor that. It's really up to the patient. What does the patient want? And realize that, for sure, these goals can change radically. And,
right. And
it's
especially,
okay.
I'm
you want to hold that space for them.
Right. And I'm assuming because, well, we had on guests from a Grace. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming a lot of times it's that sense of, well, you're watching your loved one, but you're not living their experience. You're not living their pain. You're not feeling their pain. And it's really important, I got from those guests, to not give them the message, to not give the patient the message that you're giving up because you're
absolutely
walking away from the aggressive treatment.
Absolutely. And as a caregiver, you know, there are so many emotions that we're processing ourselves, and we don't want to lose our loved one. We don't want to watch them die. Who would? So you have to, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to put that aside and honor what it is the patient wants, even if it's not necessarily what you would want for them or what you would agree to if you were making those decisions. It's not what the caregiver wants. It's what the patient wants.
Exactly. So do you have any advice, or can you speak to how you help caregivers deal with that grieving process? Because that's what it is, even if the person hasn't actually passed to the next world, right? There's a lot of grief. I know my dad died of cancer, and we said, well, we actually lost him about 3 years before he actually passed on, right? Mm-hmm. So what kind of advice do you give to caregivers when they're going through that, or how to handle that grief stuff?
Well, for many folks, there's a spiritual component to that, and that could be very different. I know in Madison, Wisconsin, you're as likely to be working with a United Methodist as you are a Buddhist. There are many, many faith beliefs in our diverse community, and that's great. So certainly if they can plug into spiritual support, what kind of, who is in their personal circle of support, you know, the caregiver, in addition to the patient, they've got to make sure their own basic needs are being met. So
right.
I would say spiritual support and their personal circle. And
okay.
Also, you know, again, Gilda's Club, we're here
yes,
to
exactly.
help with
You're
all
here
of that.
To promote, right. And you guys are probably one of the best known in town for being able to help that. So thanks for being here. And we will be back for one more second in just a moment.